Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, we've got some numbers that just came in here. I just got a note from Matt Desch with KJJR Radio in Kalispell. So KJJR Radio partnering with Northwest Parts and Equipment for a series of statewide polls. This is kind of fun. We were talking about this when we did our show live from Northwest Parts and Equipment in Columbia Falls just a couple of Fridays ago. I was chatting with Eric Maldonado and Matt, and we're like, man, we could do a live poll right in the middle of our show. And they were saying, yeah, you could use our KJJR text line, and people could text us, and we could give you the poll results live over the air. So they already started running this in Kalispell. This is a poll when it comes, and they'll do the Senate race, they'll do the presidential race and more, but they're already running the poll for the Western Congressional District U.S. House race between Republican Ryan Zinke and Democrat Monica Tranel. And so far, the early numbers, 95.8% of the KJJR listeners in support of Ryan Zinke and about 4.2% in support of Democrat Monica Tranel. You can vote right now as well by using their text line, 406-755-8700. And what you do is you would just text that number and text the name of who you want to win to that number. So again, that number is 755-8700. Text the name Zinke if you want Zinke to win. Text the name Tranel if you want Tranel to win. And I think they'll keep that one going for a little bit while longer here, and then we can announce the final results for you on Monday. All right, lots to talk about this morning here on the show. We've got the phone lines open for you here on this Freedom Friday. If you got something you want to talk about, give us a ring, 406-294-0970. This was so cool. Haven't mentioned this one yet here, but this is so cool. I shared it via X. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. I even pinned it to the top so you can see it when you first pull up that page here. But Montana, it's flyover country. Montana, we're Trump country. You got to see this flyover of Trump country. This was north of Shoto, Montana. There was a pilot flying over a farm field. And the pilot, I guess, just wants to remain anonymous, the pilot slash photographer. But they shot this video footage flying over a farm field that has the name Trump basically plowed into the field. It's such a great video. You got to check it out. A friend who sent it to me, who got the permission of the pilot slash photographer to share it, said, kudos to that farmer. What a patriot. So flyover country, Trump country, the flyover of Trump country. Check it out, x.com/Aaron Flint. One thing that I really love that the Trump campaign has been doing is what they're doing with their campaign commercials. This is hysterical. I'll play one for you right after this, featuring Barack Hussein Obama.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I've got a dozen different audio clips that I could share with you, but let's start with some fun. It is Friday. We cover a lot of serious topics on this show, but let's start with something a little fun. This is hilarious. Whenever the Trump War Room shares these, here's the latest Trump team commercial, the latest Trump ad, and all it is like 30 seconds of Kamala Harris talking, or it's 30 minutes of Kamala Harris talking, and they're like, yeah, that's our latest Trump commercial. It's just what Kamala Harris just said right there. Well, this one, they're featuring Barack Hussein Obama. Where are we at here? I just had it queued up here. Oh, my goodness. I just had it queued up. And then, like I say, I've got like a dozen different sound bites in front of me here. It's only 12 seconds long. Here it is, the latest Team Trump ad.
Too many folks here in Georgia and across the country are struggling to pay the bills. We all know the price of everything from housing to health care to groceries is still too high. And it hurts.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
They do that on the Kamala Harris sound bites, too. Just have her in her own words saying how awful everything is while she is still in power, while they are still in charge. And I was thinking about that sound bite there, too. Did you guys see the Fox News story? It's talking about the record amount of spending, of political campaign spending that we've been seeing here in Montana during the 2024. Just for the Senate race alone, they've shattered records. John Tester spent about $70 million thus far. Tim Sheehy, meanwhile, spent about $20 million thus far for his campaign. So they've averaged it out on a per registered voter basis. That's $309 per registered voter. And somebody said, you know, John Tester could have sent me a check for $309 and I still won't vote for him. But, you know, you think about it. Even if John Tester sent you a check for $309, his policies are still costing you way more than that. The average Montanan right now is losing about $12,000 a year just from the Kamala Harris, John Tester inflation. $12,000 a year. So if $309 per registered voters sounds like a god-awful amount of money, well, you're losing $12,000 a year just because of John Tester's inflation that he voted for, that Kamala Harris voted for, because she was the tie-breaking vote in support of the massive inflationary spending. And if John Tester hadn't been the tie-breaking vote for all this inflation, hadn't been the tie-making vote for all this massive inflation, she wouldn't have been the tie-breaking vote for all this massive inflation. Phone lines are open for you. What do you want to talk about? We got Perry in Columbus first up. Perry, great to hear from you.
Good morning, Aaron. Right out of the chute, I'll say your shows and the real information they provide give inspiration to all Montana patriots, and this one in particular. You know, the last time I called in feeling pretty low, frightened even. The continued existence of our constitutional republic is at stake this fall. I've been praying for the words and the wisdom to use them in a way that will convince all non-voting people of faith that the choices presented by America's two major political parties could not be more clear. Day and night, you might even say good versus evil. I can't tell you that divine intervention will save our nation from creeping totalitarianism. Far from it. God gives us free will, and we must decide that this will not come to pass on our watch. Thankfully, the last week or so of the Harris Walls campaign has proven that our Lord has a sense of humor. I'm catching daily whiffs of desperation now from the would-be dictators of the radical American leftism. There's Bill Clinton saying that Lake and Riley would still be alive if our border czar, Miss Harris, had vetted the 15 million illegals she has welcomed in since 2021. Or multimillionaire Barack Hussein Obama with that sprawling mansion in Martha's Vineyard lecturing the brothers about ordinary American men who happen to be black having the audacity to vote their finances and families' futures instead of their skin color. The comedy award goes to prospective VP Tim Walz, who is so brazenly arrogant yet stupid that he won't spend 2 minutes learning how to handle someone's shotgun before going on camera to show us all how macho he is. But the grand prize goes to would-be President Connie Law herself, who revealed her utter contempt for faith and anyone that has it at an October 17th rally in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Look it up and see for yourself. Can you guess why the entire modern Democrat Party now persecutes and prosecutes faith? because totalitarians demand that the state will be your god, or you and your family will suffer and die. Research tells me almost 40 million Christian citizens' votes go uncast in each American election cycle. With your participation, faith and freedom would never lose another election. It's not too late to save our constitutional republic, but we need your help. Get registered, vote your faith, do it now, because there may not be a next time.
Sounds like there's a lot of people doing just that, voting early like never before. Perry, good to hear from you. Hey, Perry, did you hear the two things that Ray Thompson shared with us the other day? Did you get a chance to hear that?
Well, you know, I listen to your show every morning, except there's a couple of days when the transmitter was not.
I'll tell you what, go to MontanaTalks.com. Check out the two things from Ray Thompson. You're going to love it. Check it out. All right, back with more callers right after this.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys could hear me kind of laugh when Perry in Columbus was talking about how desperate the other side is getting. I mean, what's their final appeal to voters? Calling Trump a fascist, calling Trump a Nazi, calling Trump Hitler. Oh, for Pete's sake, give me a break. Give me a break. It's what I was laughing about, though, was, okay, yeah, obviously you're in Montana, you're in flyover country, you're in Trump country, you get it. I mean, there are parts of eastern Montana in particular where, like, you're going to go 80% plus for Donald J. Trump this election, right? So you're very quickly going to call BS on this all. He's a fascist, closing argument from Kamala and crew. But here's the deal. Have you guys heard of this this black radio host, Charlemagne? I think he's based in New York City. He's constantly flacking for Kamala Harris. And yet, it ain't working. More and more black voters are flocking to President Donald J. Trump. Listen to one of Charlemagne's own callers call him out, call Kamala out, and call BS on all of this. He's a fascist nonsense that they're trying to pull.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Mike calling out of Virginia.
Mike from VA, what's up? Get it off your chest, Mike.
No disrespect to nobody, man. I know everybody in that radio station, you know, more than likely going to vote Democrat. But it's just kind of funny, the rhetoric about Trump being a racist. I mean, I do my Googles, man, and I see this man having pictures with all kinds of famous black people that you guys are fans of. Especially, I see him standing next to Rosa Parks. I mean, for crying out loud, people, how can this man be a Nazi, a Hitler? That's crazy.
And that Adam Schiff is crazy. And then Charlemagne, he gets fired up. He gets all defensive. He starts telling the guy to shut the H-E double hockey sticks up. The full back and forth was just hysterical. Just how desperate the left is getting right now. You know, there's an important question that needs to be asked here. There's an important question that needs to be asked. We've got a caller from Eastern Montana, and she made a great point on X earlier this morning. Did you guys hear about how Joe Biden is going to apologize to Native Americans? Joe Biden is going to apologize to Native Americans. Well, I think Joe Biden needs to apologize. So did this listener in Eastern Montana. We'll talk about that here in just a second. But first, let's go to Clayton in Billings on the phone lines. Clayton, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron.
Yeah, good morning. What's going on?
Yeah, last night after we got home from Billings Stereo Theater, stayed up late to watch Paul Manafort interview with Tucker Carlson. And on Tucker Carlson Network, you can find it on YouTube. He goes over everything you're talking about. And Paul Manafort spent 10 years in Ukraine. and he covers that whole rigmarole of what happened in Ukraine in detail. And it's a great interview to watch. You can download that.
What stood out to you? What was the part that really stood out to you the most? What was your biggest takeaway that you think other Montanans would find interesting?
Well, how he talks about why people call Trump, you know, a fascist and Nazi but the Ukraine thing, I didn't realize he spent 10 years in Ukraine and working for the government. And Paul Manafort is a really great man of faith, so he's not vindicated, you know, after he went to prison and was in solitary confinement. I just wanted to let your listeners know about that Tucker Carlson network.
Yeah, he does a great job. Yeah, you can find him. You can find him on X as well. He's had some great interviews. He just sat down with Elon Musk here recently. Colin Rugg shared a clip from that conversation between Elon Musk and Tucker Carlson. You know, and Elon Musk, he's been speaking out like never before about how important this election is. Listen to part of this back and forth between Tucker Carlson and Elon Musk.
Will that ever come out, do you think? You know, I think part of why Kamala is getting so much support is that if Trump wins, that Epstein client list is going to become public.
Yes.
And some of those billionaires behind Kamala are terrified of that outcome.
Yeah. Do you think Reid Hoffman's uncomfortable?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Gates. Yeah.
And I only ask that because you can sort of just look at them and you're like, that's a nervous person right there. I don't know. I mean, I assume you know them. Yeah.
Yes. Reid Hoffman was my vice president of business development at PayPal.
Yeah.
24 years ago.
does he seem nervous to you?
Yeah. I mean, he's terrified of a Trump victory.
Because of the disclosure that would follow?
I think, yeah, I mean, I think he's certainly ideologically not aligned with Trump anyway, but I think he is concerned about the Epstein situation.
Yeah, so what Elon Musk was referring to there is how there was another clip from Elon Musk I thought we might have snagged as well, where he basically says, like, you know, Kamala Harris is going to try to throw him in prison if she gets elected. But how Epstein world goes all in for Kamala Harris. That's what he's referring to. The DailyCaller.com has a write-up featuring that very clip that I just shared here. But basically, the point he's making is that, you know why Bill Gates has given $50 million to try to help Kamala Harris get elected here? That it's not just Bill Gates. It's not just Bill Gates. It's the whole world surrounding Jeffrey Epstein that's donating a whole bunch of money to Kamala Harris, because I think he says that they're afraid they're going to be exposed if Trump's elected and the Epstein client list gets released. All right, back into the phone lines we go. Eric Albus, I'm glad you called back in. He called in yesterday, but we ran out of time before we got to his phone call. Eric Albus is a candidate, I believe, for House District 28, calling in from Hinsdale, Montana. Eric, thanks for calling in. What did you want to share with our listeners?
Hey, you bet, Aaron. Thank you for taking my call. And I would like to first apologize to everybody in the House District here for not being able to get out and meet everybody. But it's a huge district. It runs from Chester up to the Canadian border, clean back to Opheim and the Opheim Highway. That's our district here. It's huge. And I just want to let everybody know that I appreciate your support through the primary and look forward to getting your vote here in a few days and serving in Helena, and I'm easy to find. So if anybody has anything they'd like me to work on or need to know about, feel free to call. And then I'd like to throw my two cents in on the whole Kamala Harris thing. The Democrat Party does not have a candidate. The candidate they're running, they were threatening to kick off the ticket, in case anybody remembers that, just ahead of her being anointed. And the press can't even play the poor woman up to make her sound even halfway electable.
That's right. Hey, well, first off, I looked at the map of your district. It's crazy the way the Democrats gerrymandered these districts, because you're right. I think your district, if the map I looked at was accurate, it goes from Chester all the way to Opheim, and it basically, the southern boundary is about roughly at Highway 2 all the way north to the Canadian border. And then, like in Missoula, they chopped up the rattlesnake three different ways to try to gerrymander Democrat districts there and to strip down the rural vote. It just shows the efforts the Democrats are taking to try to you know, change the rules in order to change the outcome of the elections.
Yes, it is. Their hypocrisy knows no bounds with this. When they gerrymandered this district, they drew the line around Harlem and Hayes and Havre and all those communities. And it's just incredible what they've gotten away with. And I guess part of the problem is those of us that are conservatives are kind of a live and let live people and figure everybody's going to get, you know, do the right thing and be honest. And we can't take that and count on that. And now they're pushing this constitutional initiative to be able to vote across party lines in the primary, which is more, basically more gerrymandering.
Yeah. Well, I certainly, you know, there's so many candidates for the legislature. That's why I'm glad we have open phones so that, you know, anybody can call in, and because there's no way we could schedule everybody to be a guest on the show. But I got to say, I recognized your name right off the bat because I get to MC the Safari Club International Banquet for the Montana chapter every spring. And so I get to hear about all these great hunting and fishing trips and everything. And I know you're a big outdoorsman up there on the High Line.
Yeah, we are, and we've donated a lot to a lot of different organizations across Montana, from Safari Club to Pheasants Forever, and try to do as much to give back as we possibly can.
What's your pitch? We've got about a minute and a half before we go to a break here. What's your pitch, though, for voters in District 28 to support Eric Albus?
Well, one of the first projects we got to get sorted out is this St. Mary's deal, because the lifeline of the High Line is that Milk River, and I depend on that river for water, too. We irrigate out of the St. Mary's Project that supplies us water, and when I get to Helena, I'm going to do everything I can to fast-track that, because I'm hearing there's funding issues now, and they're looking like it's not going to be August of 25 that it's done, and we absolutely depend on that water here for our communities and our farmers and ranchers. There's a lot of these little communities that depend on that water just to survive for drinking water. So,
well, and the whole world depends on
get that thing done.
That's right. And the whole world depends on that community to feed the world, too. It's just insane to me that the High Line would go dry. I mean, if Conrad Burns were in office, the High Line never would have been allowed to go dry. And that's why I think this Senate race is going to turn as well. But you're right. The state legislature has got to focus on this, too.
Yeah, I certainly hope people will take the blinders off and see John Tester hasn't done a whole lot. That siphon should have never gotten into that condition. If it was a farm and ranch that was running the siphon and taking care of it, it would have been fixed a long time ago.
Amen. Eric Albus, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's why we love having the phone lines open so you can jump in on the conversation and be heard all across Montana. Back to more callers right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Farm and ranch debt could grow next year without a farm bill, according to agricultural economists who testified recently before the House Agriculture Committee. The damage being done to the agriculture economy without an updated farm bill is real and could get worse, according to economist Dr. Ronald Rainey.
The current environment has placed increasing pressure on producers' balance sheets, forcing them to increase farm debt levels as they attempt to survive the current economic challenges. Across all ag sectors and types of production, farm profitability remains a challenge.
USDA is projecting a 25% plus $43 billion drop in net farm income this year, or $90 billion combined over the last 2 years, the largest in history. Dr. Rainey says high input costs and plummeting prices are squeezing producers.
In response to this profitability squeeze, farmers have been increasing debt levels. A recent article from Kansas City Fed details recent changes in farm debt levels and highlights increased debt levels, especially among small and mid-sized farms.
Steady increases in interest rates at commercial banks are taking place amid continued growth in farm operating debt as well. American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval has stressed the need for a modernized farm bill. Otherwise, lacking the certainty of a new farm bill, bankers could make it harder for farmers to secure operating loans beyond 2025. I'm Lee Northland.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's an historic apology. Historic apology about to be coming from Joe Biden for the failures of the federal government. Look, we know the federal government has failed us, Native Americans especially. Remember the Indian trust funds that were so badly managed by the federal government? Had to have a lawsuit to try to fix that. The federal government has sure mismanaged a lot. So why would you vote for a bigger federal government, right, when the federal government continues to fail you? But anyway, a historic apology. That's what Karine Jean-Pierre is calling this apology that is soon to be coming from President Joe Biden.
This historic presidential apology for the federal Indian boarding school era will acknowledge that if we truly love our country, we must remember and teach our full history, even when it is painful.
Okay, so Karine Jean-Pierre is calling this. Joe Biden is about to apologize because of the federal government's failures for Native Americans from decades ago. But you guys know the gal Tester will not be reelected. That's her name on X. She calls in from Eastern Montana from time to time. She made a very good point here. Joe Biden needs to apologize to the Native Americans for the cartels, for the fentanyl, and for the missing and murdered indigenous women epidemic that his administration has caused the tribes. But that's just my stance, she says. She is spot on. She is spot on. Joe Biden wants to apologize for something that happened decades ago. That's virtue signaling. Why doesn't Joe Biden, and frankly, why doesn't John Tester, who's been a part of this open borders fiasco, Joe Biden and John Tester need to apologize for what they're doing right now, for what they're doing today. Unleashing the Mexican drug cartels on our reservations, refusing to provide adequate federal law enforcement resources to those same communities. What a great point she made on X earlier this morning. Let's go to Barbara in Billings next up on the phone lines. Barbara, what's going on?
Well, good morning. I would like to respond to the lady that called yesterday about she was admonishing the pastors for not telling the truth from the pulpit. We all need to be mindful that most of our churches are 501c3 tax exempt organizations, and therefore they are effectively muzzled, unless you're a black church or Al Sharpton.
Yeah. Well, but there's ways, though, that, I mean, look, yeah, pastors and churches can't necessarily get up there and say, you must vote for this Republican or you must vote against or for this particular initiative. But they can certainly inform and educate their parishioners about what is on the ballot. They can inform them about how radical CI-128 is, for example.
Well, there's a couple of churches in Texas that are got their doors closed for doing such a thing. So, I mean, I appreciate that. You know, if they should be allowed to, but you've got to watch out, you know, when you've got that 501c3.
Well, again, but how many times, and again, I'm no pastor, I'm far from being a pastor myself, but if I'm not mistaken, if you ran the numbers to see what command is spelled out more than any other in the Bible, do not fear, I think, is one of them. And maybe the command that's listed more than any other, if you were to take account. And so are people not speaking out about, you know, the insanity that's facing our country right now out of fear, or is it out of virtue? Because if it's out of fear, I don't know. It's hard to understand why somebody who is told not to be afraid would be so afraid.
But if your doors are closed, you can't help a lot of people.
Well, yeah, but look at China. I mean, the number of Christians in China is growing rapidly, and they're not allowed to keep their doors open. And yet somehow, you know, people are losing the number of people sitting in their pews in America. And yet China is rapidly growing the number of Christians in the face of that type of tyranny.
Yeah, but I'd rather not be China.
well, I guess the point being is that I think the boldness to confront the challenges that are facing our culture today, I think that would be much more inspirational to people than people not speaking out or not confronting the challenges facing our culture and our country and really entire Western civilization because you're just afraid to stand up and speak. That's just my take.
Well, yep, but how many of us have been afraid to speak out since Obama was in office?
Well, it's time to stop being so afraid, if you ask me. And I'll tell you what, there's so many great business owners and others who are speaking out and being bold for maybe the first time ever this year. And that's what it's going to take to get our country back on the right track. You just got to be bold. And I think what people will realize is that when they do step forward and take that bold leap, that they'll find it very rewarding and they will be very encouraged by the support and the response that they will get. Appreciate your phone call, Barbara. Great to hear from you. Back to what Perry in Billings had to say there. Perry in Columbus. First off, Andrea sent us a message. She said she wants Perry's poems. Where can we find Perry's poems so we can share them? Does Perry post his poems anywhere so that we can share them with our friends? That's a great idea. So Perry in Columbus, I don't know if you're still listening, but if you post your poems anywhere, she would love to share them. A great idea. And Perry, the one thing I was going to tell you, I know you might have missed it because, like you say, we had some folks attacking our radio transmitter in Billings. Hats off, by the way, to the Yellowstone County Sheriff's deputies. They did some roving patrols, and they busted one of the guys who was creeping in on our tower site, shutting off your radio signal there. So big thanks to the Yellowstone County Sheriff's deputies. But, yeah, like I say, if you missed it, Ray Thompson, he joined us to share his two things that he wanted to share with Montanans. And one of them, Perry, which I think you will really appreciate, is he talked about how there is joy in duty. There is joy in work. There is joy in service. There is joy in sacrifice. And this was one of the two things that he shared with us. I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and found that life was duty. I acted, and behold, duty is joy. So, Perry, yeah, you can check that out and his other piece of wisdom. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Let's go back into the phone lines here. We've got Greg Franks in Billings. Greg, what's going on?
Well, I wanted to make an announcement about being bold, but I want to talk to Barbara a little bit. The church is so scared of losing their tax-exempt statuses. They're worrying about offending people, and they just need to look at the Apostle Paul and what he did. He got thrown out of town, he got beaten, he got murdered, he got charged, and being bold and speaking the truth is what we're called upon as being Christians. And so that being said, my segue here is we're going to try to do another guerrilla flotilla for Trump and Tim Sheehy and any other Republican candidates. Driving around Billings, I'll be led with my 73 Eldorado convertible. We're going to meet at West High at 1 o'clock on Sunday. So it's a great time, meet some good people, you get some really good enthusiasm, good responses from folks. So I want to encourage folks if they want to come out and have some fun.
Hey, that's great. Are you going to have our buddy Matt with his Evel Knievel costume that he wore to the Yellowstone International Air Show?
He was wearing that last Sunday. I shot them a text this morning to see if they were going to be available or if our one friend that wore the gorilla suit waving the Trump flag. But regardless if they make it or not, we're still going to get a group together, and it doesn't have to be them. It can be a lot of folks, and you don't have to have a classic car. You can have any car. Grab your Sheehy sign, grab your Dan Wilson sign, or or Troy Downing, but yeah, getting a little messed up on that one. But yeah, so whatever you want, come out and have some fun and encourage people to get involved. And you can, if you see us drive by, join in. That'll be a good time.
Greg, what do you think? What do you think things are looking like around it? Do you think the polls are starting to break? The dam's starting to break? Trump's direction in these battleground states? It certainly sounds that way, but you can't take anything for granted.
You know, the thing that started breaking last week is the financial markets and the sports betting markets are really starting to move strong towards Trump. The market is really baking into Trump victory, and that's why you're seeing some of the responses where it's at. I'm stepping forward cautiously. I'm energized. I'm happy because it's so important that this election is so critical, because 4 years of Kamala Harris, another 4 years of an open border, another 4 years of the fentanyl and drugs coming across, we're not going to have a country left. And, you know, this is why it's so critical that not only the churches but everybody get involved. And you don't have to say vote Republican. You can instruct your congregation just to vote according to what the Bible and what the scripture says.
That's what Jeff Patterson just texted me. Jeff Patterson in Glasgow says just preach what the Bible says. What's so hard about that? Was the point that he made.
And if you look at it, it's a pretty clear choice.
All right, we got to hold it there. We got to hit a hard break here. Greg, thanks for the call.
Studio. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, those ads supporting CI 126 and 127. I remember when one of our callers flagged that. Those are just disgusting. These elections are not what our service members fought and sacrificed for. Okay, your campaign, your ballot initiatives are being funded by foreign financiers, like Hans-Jörg Wiese, the same guy backing the American Prairie Reserve that wants to shut down our cattle ranches in Montana. Oh, but you guys who are taking money from out of state, who are taking money from out of the country, from foreigners, to interfere with our elections and to change our Montana Constitution, you want to tell us what our service members fought and sacrificed for? That's just disgusting, if you ask me. 294-0970 is the number. Let's go to Bill in Laurel. Bill, are you still there?
This is Phil. But anyway, there is a commissioner, Casey Walsh, and he wants to reduce the daily take and limit on fish in your freezer to 3 per day. And this is in all the rivers in central and western Montana. And Fish and Wildlife, as biologists said, there's no biological concern with the current limits. Reducing the limits would restrict the opportunity for the few harvest-oriented anglers and not result in population levels. And we only have till the end of the month, or you can go and do a Zoom meeting in November. But you need to go to Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, Montana.gov, and look for Walsh's comments and scroll down to the bottom and put your own comments on if you want to keep the limit to where it is.
Interesting. Yeah, I was just trying to go through and find some of the latest press releases that I got from Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to pull this one up so that I have it in front of me. But yeah, what's the official name of this public comment that they're seeking right here, so if people know exactly what to search for? Because when I just did a quick search, nothing was pulling up. So I'm trying to find this specific one in particular.
It's in the Montana Fish Wildlife FWP.
Meeting.
Okay, it's been delayed till November.
Oh, okay. Is this the extant fishing regulations? Is that the one, or they're seeking comments on that one? Yeah. Or tell you what, shoot me a little bit more information so I've got it top of line here. shoot us a message on the Montana Talks app or email Aaron at MontanaTalks.com. And, yeah, that'd be a great topic to get somebody from FWP on the show here, take some phone calls, you name it. So I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for getting that one on our radar. Next up, we've got Mark in Park City. Mark, what's going on?
Yeah, I wanted to comment on Barbara's phone call. If she would do a little digging in our history of our country, she would find out that many of the pastors in our country before the Revolutionary War were from Scotland, who had been horribly oppressed by England for hundreds of years. And they preached from the rooftops that we needed to be independent from Britain, besides for the reasons that were quoted, taxation without representation, but also freedom from to be able to worship. And then also there are many Christians who would say that a large part of the problem with our culture today is the church has not stood up against it. The church has invited the culture into the church instead of being salt and light for the rest of the culture. And that's my belief, too. And I just think you're not loving your neighbor if you're letting them kill babies. Sometimes the truth is hard, but it's a loving thing to do, is tell people the truth. You're not helping them when you enable them to continue their behavior without...
Well, and again, are you refusing to speak out, or are you not speaking out, or at least teaching on what's going on because of virtue or because of fear? And it sounds like for some people it's because of fear that they might lose a couple of people sitting in their seats, or fear that the government might come after them. And so, yeah, is it virtue or is it fear? Yeah, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you, Mark. Let's go next to Connie in Hungry Horse. Connie, what's your thoughts?
I just wanted to say that although we can all be afraid, and it's easy to be afraid if we aren't doing more.
Now your call's starting to break up there. I guess all that infrastructure that they keep bragging about hasn't been put in place yet, because we still have better cell phone coverage in Iraq and Afghanistan than we do in parts of Montana, as I'm hearing there. Yeah, Connie, I'm sorry. Your call started to break up there. Are you still there? Let's see if she got service again. Probably not. Okay, all right. Well, shoot. Sorry about that. Connie, I really wanted to hear what you have to say. I'm sure there were others out there that wanted to hear more as well. Tammy in Kalispell sent us a message regarding the caller fearful of losing tax-exempt status for churches. In the Bible, a church is anywhere two or more people meet. We need to move beyond church as a business. If our church lost its status, our pastor would preach in a field. God is more than a tax-exempt status. That's what Tammy in Kalispell shared. Tammy, thanks for that message. Hey, have a great weekend. We'll be back with you one full week before the election.